Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. I've been with the park rangers in Alaska for about 30 years. I'm getting ready to retire in a few months' time. Alaska is an amazingly beautiful state. In many ways, it is far different from the rest of the United States. There is a lot more wilderness and things that are still quite wild. Nature is much more prevalent and things are a lot more rural. If you've ever wanted to live in a place without a lot of neighbors, Alaska has plenty of places just for you. Anyway, my story starts in 1996. We got a call about a missing person. Now, we get the occasional missing person, and that's not unusual by any means, especially out in the wilds of Alaska. But this was a bit more pressing as the missing person wasn't an Alaskan residence. The person was a woman who was supposed to have come to visit some family. They were due out a week prior to return, but the family hadn't heard from her. I reassured the woman that there was a strong chance she was probably already back, but she hadn't checked in. Considering this was a younger woman, I thought maybe she was just enjoying her freedom, so to speak, as that wasn't very uncommon. Still, I told her we'd take things into consideration and we would look into things and let her know what we found. The first thing I did was head over and check in with the family this woman was supposed to be visiting. I was quite of the belief that the missing woman had already headed out of Alaska and gone back to New York, where she lived. But I figured I should just check anyway, as if it were my kid, I want to know where their whereabouts were as well. It took some time to get where I was headed, as travel isn't always the most convenient out here in Alaska. Upon my arrival, I knocked on the door of this girl's aunt and explained the situation. I asked some simple questions, and it was then I grew a little bit more worried than I'd initially been. This girl's aunt was very welcoming and gracious, and while I was appreciative of this, she informed me quickly that she hadn't seen her niece since she left a week ago to go back home. I had a cup of coffee and thanked the woman before reassuring her I'd check in with the pilot who flew her out, and I'd get back to her. It wasn't long before I headed that way. While I was a bit more worried, I fully expected to hear from the pilot, and they'd flown her out to the nearest airport outside of Alaska. It was all okay. This theory was great and all except for one thing. Upon heading to where this pilot lived, I found something quite suspicious. A door covered in red. I'm not talking painted red. I'm talking a blood spray sort of red. I pounded on the door and announced myself several times, but I got no answer. I peeked around the residence and found what looked like to be more blood. I began following the trail, and there were points where I saw claw marks dug into the side of the cabin this pilot lived in. Eventually, I happened upon a broken window around the back. I took my flashlight and looked inside a bit and noticed there was blood absolutely everywhere. It was at this point I called the nearest authorities. I explained everything to them. And it was here the real investigation began. Inside the cabin was a horrid smell. The authorities had found bits and pieces of this pilot throughout the cabin. A head there, an arm here, blood and entrails just about everywhere. It was sickening, to say the least. It was possible the girl had been in the area, but it had been too long to know for sure. I decided to head back to the airstrip the pilot would have flown out from. It found almost nothing to indicate what had happened, or if the girl had ever even been there. My initial thought was she had to have been there. Still, there wasn't much to go on, and the trail was fairly non-existent. Having nothing much to go on, I headed back to my own station and informed all the family members of the goings-ons. Mostly, we'd continue searching, and that it appeared that she was indeed missing. I obviously didn't let them know the details of the pilot or anything they didn't need to know. A day turned to a week, which was a month later, and we hadn't really found anything. There was nothing on what had happened to the girl or why the pilot had been mauled or by what. Most of the law enforcement seemed to assume it was a wild animal, but I didn't think as much. I'd never seen a wild animal force its way into someone's home and then just proceed to eviscerate them completely. Sure, sometimes you'll get a wild animal that gets a little too wild, but the level of which the person has been massacred didn't make much sense. Also, it didn't seem like whatever mauled the pilot ate anything. The person was in pieces, sure, but if it were an animal, you'd think it would have feasted on some of it, if not all of it. Also, the claw marks were deep, and none of them seemed to match any kind of animal we had here in Alaska. The eeriest part of all of this was that whatever attacked the pilot seemed to have done so with intelligence and almost cold calculation. There are plenty of smart animals out there, but the pilot was able to get their gun off to fire several shots in the process somehow. Whatever attacked him had somehow avoided these things. You'd have to be pretty fast to do something like that. I don't know a human or an animal that could avoid being shot at that close of range and get close enough to rip someone to pieces while that person is firing a shotgun right in front of them. Not a single part of this sat well with me, but there wasn't much I was able to do because I had little to nothing to go on. Looking back now, I wish this would have just been the end, honestly. I mean, no disrespect to the family or the girl or the pilot, but what happened next was more than I could have ever bargained for, if you catch my drift. I was home one night, about a couple of months after the investigation, when I heard a faint call for help. I was in my chair, fire going and doors locked. Because of the nature of the snow that was falling, I initially thought the wind was playing tricks on my mind, as it was storming pretty hard out there. This quickly changed upon the sound of a loud pounding on my door. I jumped, nearly spilling my hot cocoa all over myself, and I quickly shouted a few obscenities before grabbing my gun and asking who was there. I heard nothing in response, and I decided to check what could be out on the other side of that peephole. It was then I was shocked to see a blonde girl in her 20s covered in blood, crying outside my door. I quickly unlocked my door and swung it open, looking to help this girl, but upon opening the door, I saw no one. I was thrown off by this, especially when I shut the door, locked it again, took two steps before the pounding started again. I looked at the peephole again, but as I did, my power died for a moment. I felt shaky, and I couldn't see the best. I swore for a moment I heard the sound of faint sniffling and crying, but it was only for a second when the power came back on. This was normal, the blizzard being what it was. The thing that wasn't normal, however, was what happened next. I heard persistent knocking like something was blowing in the wind at my door. This was quite different from the pounding I had heard initially. Looking through the peephole, I saw a rope. Inside this rope was a bloody trash bag. I flipped out and called the police. The entire time I waited, I could hear the bag hitting the door. When law enforcement arrived, they found remains of a woman. It matched the idea of that missing woman that we were investigating. This poor girl had been torn to pieces. It looked like someone had ripped her spine out of her body and had a grand old time tearing the rest of her body piece by piece. This wasn't natural and it wasn't normal. I was shaken to say the least. Something was out there and it left me this girl, which meant it knew where I lived and that I had looked into the disappearances. The next few nights I had were sleepless. Part of this was from the guilt of the way this girl was found, and part of this was from the horror of that same thing. What little sleep I did get came with nightmares and disturbing chantings inside my mind. I'd hear several minutes upon waking. In time, this slowly stopped. It was a year later before things got really strange again. I'd somewhat moved on from the previous year's events, as much as anyone could after something like that. when I got a call to the station. It was something crying and trying to speak, but it was breaking up quite a bit. After several attempts to calm this person down, the line died, abruptly. I decided to check around at the phone stations around the park and see if I could find anything. It was around the time I hit one of our most remote stations that I knew something was up. I found a blood-soaked handprint that seemed to streak. The phone line had been ripped out in the phone, and there was a trail of blood that led deeper into the woods. I called law enforcement and gave them my location before slowly making my way, gun in hand, down the blood-soaked snow trail. It wasn't long before I found myself face to face with a fresh body, or half of one, that is. A man was pinned to a tree by a branch that was driven through its mouth. His top half was... it was there, but where his bottom half should have been, there was only blood and some of his insides, which were steaming in the snow. It was here I stopped and waited for the authorities to arrive. I wasn't even slightly comfortable at this point, and I quite honestly wanted nothing to do with the continuing of this investigation. I didn't exactly have a choice, however, as this happened at my park and I was beginning to think it was done intentionally. Afraid for my life, I didn't dare move an inch till the police arrived. I told them everything I had found and what little I knew, and they eventually found the rest of the man a mile away. I went home and tried to sleep, but I didn't get much at all. I called in and took some time off, which was easy to do since I was the lead at the station. During my time off, I'd get strange nightly phone calls. The first time, it was the voice of the man who'd called me right before his death. I still get chills thinking about how the voice sounded exactly like the man. I swore it was his dying moments replayed again. The thing is, though, an audio recording back then would have been obvious. This was no audio recording. It was either the dead man's ghost or something that mimicked his last moments perfectly. The second night I got a call, and it was just snickering on the other line. I threatened to call law enforcement and told whoever was on the other end of this line exactly what they could do to themselves if they catch my drift. Night 3 was several varying phone calls from 2 to 4 in the morning. They were all different and all on the hour. One was a woman crying. The 3 a.m. call was a child asking for his mother over and over again. And the final call of the night was a repeat of the man who'd been mauled at our park. I called the authorities, but they couldn't do much about it. The fourth night was an almost demonic or extremely warped voice. I couldn't understand it at all. And night 5 was someone whispering, "I see you," before hanging up. This call really unnerved me. The reason being was the strange wailing that came from outside my window after it happened. I peeked out the curtains and saw nothing, but I was uncomfortable the remainder of the night. I'd even taken to recording the calls so I could share them with law enforcement. Again, there was nothing they could really do about it. Night 6's call was an older woman begging for help and screaming at what sounded like her slowly being murdered, and night 7 was just heavy breathing. As tired as I was, I wanted to get back to somewhat of a normal routine after this, and went back to work the next morning. I was convinced at this point that something was stalking me. I thought it'd be the best to take advantage of this knowledge to set up traps of sorts, assuming I could catch whatever it was. I clocked out at the end of the workday and locked up. I then proceeded to wait at my station. I wasn't going to go home. I figured if something was stalking me, I'd meet it here, at my work. So, I loaded up my shotgun and my Magnum and proceeded to wait. It was about 11-ish when I heard a loud pounding at my station door. I asked who was there, and it was then I heard laughter from behind me. I looked and saw blood on the window. The shape looked like a 3-fingered hand. This was followed by a large thud on the roof above me. I cautiously sat down and waited. I wasn't looking to be baited out. I wouldn't need to be. However, as I heard a loud smack hit the station window, it was a bloody trash bag that sat outside the window. This was followed by another which slammed the window again, and then another, and then another, and then another. And then, on the other side of the bloody handprint, I saw something that I'll never forget. Then, a final smack on the window. I saw a crack in the glass before hearing the loudest and most disturbing screaming I've ever heard in my life. I wish I had the words to describe it, but there is no way to describe what it was I heard. I tried my phone, keeping a close eye on the windows as I heard a slow scratching behind me on the outside of the station. Unfortunately for me, whatever was doing this killed the phone lines. The slow, clawing made its way around the station and soon hit the window on the glass. I couldn't tell what it was in the darkness, but I could see the marks it was making in the glass. I raised my shotgun, and the moment I did it, it stopped. Everything fell silent except for the snow and the wind that blew it. I heard a crashing sound behind me and spun around, firing off shots, but finding nothing. It was as I was reloading that I heard the glass shatter behind me. Burst would be a better description, as it flew inwards as pieces of glass cut my skin. I fell to the ground and got up before firing a few more shots into the darkness. I heard nothing, and my adrenaline had me on edge as I was shaking. I wasn't shaking from the cold, I was shaking from pure fear. I heard a woman's laughter and then a man's crying. These sounds circled me and I kept an eye out. Whatever was there remained in the shadows. I was even more afraid now as I wasn't sure where this thing was. Were the voices, the crying, all of it real, or was it something inside my mind? I knew whatever it was, this thing was creating it. I heard that same inhuman scream behind me, at which point I spun around and fired off every round I had left in my shotgun before immediately pulling my magnum out. There was a burst of disturbingly terrifying laughter that followed all of this. I've never heard anything so horrific in my entire lifetime. Things fell silent before a loud scream rang out ahead of me. I fired off a few shots and ran out the destroyed window in the direction of the screams. I didn't care if I died at this point. I just wanted it all to be over. I was sick of the sleepless nights and this thing toying with me, and so I fired as I ran until I heard clicking. I then reloaded as fast as my fingers would let me, and shakily spun around in the snow, positive I was going to die at any moment. It was there I stood, shaking and crying until the sun came up. One of my coworkers arrived early for their shift and stood in shock at what they saw. They came to me and consoled me before driving out and finding a working phone. We called the police and I remember being in shambles. My mind was broken and I was afraid for my life. The worst part of it all was I never saw this thing. I gave the authorities my information and immediately took what I had in savings and moved away. My coworkers were able to help me find a transfer, and I now reside in California, where I'm getting ready to retire completely. Never found out what was going on, or what that thing was, or anything else in relation to it. I left the second I was able to, and I haven't been bothered by the thing since. Or whatever it was. I imagine it is native to Alaska. I have no clue what this thing was or how anyone is supposed to kill it, but I'm positive it is still out there somewhere, killing.